Good afternoon, brethren. God has given us instructions on how we should live, how we should live to please him and to strive to live a righteous life. These include the Ten Commandments, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, and the scriptures covering the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and in many other places. The topic I'd like to speak about today is about gentleness or kindness. Some would say this is rather obvious. Some might even say it's only a minor deal. But God has listed it for a reason. There are no minor qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. To him, it is important. We'll start off today with Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. This starts out with the challenge people have, namely sexual issues, which in this society are becoming worse and worse. Gay pride marches are becoming commonplace in many countries. Anyone who objects could be considered to be committing hate speech. And more countries are passing laws banning hate speech. This can make it very difficult to raise children according to God's principles in today's world. Continuing in verse 20, other works of the flesh are idolatry, one of the most common sins we commit, because idolatry is in the spiritual sense, is simply putting anything ahead of what God wants us to do. We continue in sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. These are not random because they are pretty much related. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we do not take our calling seriously, we will not be in the kingdom of God. On the other hand, we are given directions of the way to succeed in our calling. Continuing in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, love is God's character. It sums it up in one word in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments show us the godly way of life. Continuing, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. For those who use the King James Authorized Bible, kindness is translated gentleness. In fact, all of the translations that I could find between William Tyndale's translation of 1526 and King James Authorized version of 1611 and a few modern ones translate kindness as gentleness. This is to be expected because most of these translations are based on William Tyndale's original translation, and his was the first translation from Greek to English. So why do the different translations dealing with the same word come up with different explanations? It's not because Paul was not quite sure what he meant. It is a translational problem. Words in one language do not translate perfectly into another language. In the New King James Version, gentleness is the seventh in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, but this is translated from a different Greek word because there is overlap in the meaning of the words. Even William Tyndale, who translated the Greek word Christotes as gentleness in Galatians 5 verse 22, translated it as goodness and kindness in Romans, and kindness in 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Titus. This depended, of course, on the context of the verse. In fact, Galatians 5:22 is the only verse where he translated Christotes as gentleness. In other versions, kindness is translated as graciousness, sweetness of disposition, sweetness of spirit, and benignity. Now you may ask, what does the word benignity mean? Two versions have this word, and one would not usually come across it in speech or in writing. But in medical usage, when you find a lump and you go to a doctor and have a biopsy, you'll get the result back that the tumour is either malignant, which means aggressive, or benign, which means non-aggressive. And you certainly don't want the word malignant. So benignity is being non-aggressive. To start off, God's character is perfect, outgoing give. It's love. It's not self-centered. We can usually tell the difference between someone who is kind and someone who is not kind. It can be very obvious. And we should be striving ourselves to have this quality. Now, this quality of kindness and gentleness comes from a Greek word, which I mentioned before, of Christotes, which according to Strong's exhaustive concordance of the King James Version, it is translated gentleness, goodness, and kindness. It means moral goodness, uprightness, integrity, benignity, that is benign or not aggressive, and kindness. Well, moral goodness is pretty obvious. If we are persons of integrity, it is because of the way that we act, the way that we live. But there is more to Christotes than moral integrity. It is an approach to life that is benign, not aggressive, that is not irritable, that is not grumpy, but is kind and open and serving and giving. There are a number of places where Christotes is used in the New Testament. It is translated in the New King James Version 4 times as goodness, 4 times as kindness, 1 time as gentleness, and 1 time as good. So were the translators confused? Actually, they used the most appropriate word for the context of each verse. First, I'd like us to go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. Now, this is the first hint, because Christotes is the opposite of judging, being critical of other people. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. So if we don't practice Christotes in our dealing with others, we incur judgment on ourselves. And do you think this, O man, that you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Obviously not. You are incurring the judgment of God. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? That's from Christotes. Forbearance and long-suffering. These three are tied together because they are related. Not knowing that the goodness, Christotes again, of God leads you to repentance. God puts up with more than we understand. If God wanted to be critical of us, he would not have a very difficult time. But he doesn't, because he exhibits Christades, or goodness, or kindness, because he is long-suffering and forbears. He sees us do the same thing, same stupid thing, time and time again, but he gently corrects us. The next occurrence is in Romans chapter 11, verses 19 to 22. This is the next place where Christades is used. Interestingly, Paul is the only writer in the New Testament who used the Greek word Christades. He is talking here about the Gentiles. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, that's true. The Jews did not respond to God when given the opportunity, so he started calling the Gentiles. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Don't feel superior to those branches who were broken off. They ignored a great opportunity, but don't feel superior to them, but fear that the same thing might happen to you. Continuing in verse 22, actually this verse uses Christotes three times. Therefore, consider the goodness, Christotes, and severity of God. The kindness of God, but he will hold us accountable for our decisions. He is very big on accountability. In the books of the law, God at times killed multitudes of Israelites due to their rebellion against him. In fact, in Numbers chapter 16, verse 49, after the rebellion of Korah, now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the Korah incident itself. That was the 250. These 14,700 had complained that Moses and Aaron had killed Korah and his companions. They did not see God in the picture. Returning to Romans 11, verse 22, Romans 11, verse 22, on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, again, Christotes, if you continue in his goodness, Christotes. Otherwise, you'll also be cut off. This is contrasting God's goodness and kindness with his severity. We have to take our calling seriously. Now, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. We give no offence in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. So here, Paul was having to defend his office as a minister. An apostle of God with all his fruits, he had to defend his ministry because there were people in the church who were disrespectful of him and challenging him and in rebellion. Continuing in verse 4, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, again he uses Christotes, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful but always or yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul was saying, I've got the fruits of my ministry. And we are measured by the same standard today, by our fruits. And God commands us to judge by fruits. When he says, don't judge by the sense of being critical of another person, we can still recognize their fruits. In fact, he commands us to judge by the fruits. This is stated in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, where Christ has been talking about false prophets. And he says, you will know them by their fruits. In other words, you'll know the difference between a false prophet who has poor or bad fruits and a true prophet who has good fruits. Now, if you turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, where we read, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us all together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, again Christotes, toward us in Christ Jesus. Paul is emphasizing God's mercy and love to us, that he even loved us before he called us, when we were dead in trespasses. That's how much he loved us. He loves all mankind, and he has a plan for all mankind. The only difference between us and the rest of mankind is the timing of our calling and the reward we get. People called during the millennium and great white throne judgment by that period are going to have a much, much easier time than we have. And because of the challenges we have, and because of the higher casualty rate, in other words, the number of people basically falling away from the truth, casualty rate of this era, this is why we receive the better resurrection and the better rewards of the first resurrection. The better resurrection is, of course, the one that's immediate eternal life, which is better than the other two, to physical life and the experiences they will need to go through to qualify for eternal life. Of course, the ultimate reward, of course, depends on God's decision and how each person overcomes. If you go now to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, Colossians 3, 12 to 14, therefore, as the elect of God, it is important, brethren, that you know human nature has trouble with something like this. We are the elect of God. We are special. But it's not because of us, but because of God calling us. That's what makes us special. We are incredibly special, but that bears a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility with the knowledge and the calling which we have been given, which is why we have to do it, have to live it, and not just talk about it, or not just watch someone else live it. We must all take it personally. And the next word is holy. We are a holy people because of God in us. And beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, which again, Christotes, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And how? Through outgoing love for the family of God, first, and for everyone else we encounter. This is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit being active in us. Now, if you turn to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Paul states here, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. This is Paul instructing a fellow minister, a younger minister, a minister he was training. and it is believed that he was the one who baptized him. He felt like a father figure to this man. Now, the books of Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy are called pastoral epistles because they were written from a minister to a minister. And at the time Paul wrote them, he wasn't thinking about the whole church, but God chose to make this a part of the New Testament because anything that applies to a minister and the work he does in the conduct of his job and growth applies to all the members. And in our position, we also have to grow. Because we are preparing to become kings and priests, continuing in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness, the Christotes, and the love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. But having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He is showing that Christotes is a part of the package of how we interact with each other and with everybody we encounter. That's kindness and forbearance. We love to receive God's kindness and forbearance on us. None of us wants God to be harsh with us. We're all in favour of mercy when we need it. We have to understand that there is nothing about God that he does not expect us to strive to express as well. So if he is that way toward us, he expects us to be that way toward everybody else. There is no excuse for being irritable. There is no excuse for being critical or grumpy. The challenges we have don't vary if we had a good night's sleep last night. So now we can be more Christian. That is not the way it works. We are to be Christ-like regardless of the circumstances. So some have greater challenges than others. Christotes is also translated gentleness or kindness in Galatians 5:22, which we read previously. And it is translated good in Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 12, where we read, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. That's Christotes. No, not one. What God is telling us in Galatians 5, when he lists the components of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he is not cutting us any slack. He knows we are flesh. He knows we are like the grass. He lives eternally, and we come and go like a blossom. We come, and then we are gone. He knows that we are human, but says that that is not an excuse for anything. We live in a society that does not stress personal accountability and responsibility. Now, God is all about personal accountability and responsibility. Our upbringing may make difficulties, but it is not an excuse. For example, alcoholism. If a person is brought up in a family of alcoholics, they can have a tendency to be an alcoholic later in their life. And this could be a great challenge to overcome. The person may need to avoid alcohol to avoid the problem. This is similar to the advice about sexual immorality, where God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, don't go near it in order to be helped, in order not to be tempted, but to overcome. That is, to flee sexual immorality. Now, God will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him. The understanding is that he will visit the iniquities upon the children who hate him, as the parents did, but not of those who love him. And that is listed in the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, if you turn to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So we have both God the Father and Jesus Christ living in us, and we are to represent the family of God in everything we do, even when no one is looking at us. After all, Christianity is not a spectator sport. We all have to apply it individually. In the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We are called and given a responsibility to live the same life that Jesus Christ lived. Now, one definition of sin in Hebrew is to miss the mark. So we have a huge shoes to fill when it comes to Jesus Christ. None of us can fill them perfectly, but we are to try. Now, God says in Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48, "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." The Greek implies a process of striving to become perfect or complete. It is not instantaneous. It's a matter of growing to perfection. So a person who lives according to Christotes, brethren, this character trait of God Almighty, who has Christ living in him as well as God the Father, that kind of person will grow in their character to that, so that sin tempts them less and less, whatever that sin is. Now, we know, getting back to the example of alcoholics, they have to choose every day not to drink. And yet, the more you draw close to God, the less you'll give in to temptation. The more you filled your minds with the things of God and the Holy Spirit lives in us, the less the various intimidations of this world will overcome us. God tells us to flee sexual immorality, to run from it. This will also extend to other temptations, to avoid being in the presence of whatever tempts us. A person who exhibits the fruit of the Holy Spirit, including Christotes or kindness and gentleness, will be honest, fair in business dealings, their intentions toward their fellow man will be kind and gentle, open and serving and good. They won't be judgmental, they won't be impatient, they won't be gossipy, they won't be nosy, they won't be grumpy or introverted. Their intentions will be positive and upright. Such a person will accept no excuses for being stubborn or having a temper. To be Christ-like, we are to be positive, gentle and kind in our approach to all mankind. This does not mean that we tolerate sin, but we avoid it. If somebody calls himself a brother and is morally corrupt, we should withdraw from such a person. This is stated in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us." So again, this is a matter of judging by their fruits. And if they walk disorderly, we are to avoid them. We know the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It's probably seared into our memories. Jeremiah 17:9, it applies to each of us individually. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Continuing, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit. There's that word again, fruit. It is mentioned often in the fruit of his doings. So draw near to God, expressing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and Satan has to flee from us. That's one of God's promises. If we are active growing Christians, then we must be growing in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. As was mentioned previously, Christianity is not a spectator sport. If we express the fruit of the Holy Spirit, others will be able to tell that we are the people of God. Remember, we need to uphold the family name. So we should resolve to treat one another, starting with the family of God, our own family, with humility, kindness, forbearance, and forgiveness, gentleness, using the Spirit of God in us. This will help us express Christotes to each other.